Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Vanessa. Welcome to the latest episode of The Women of Harry Potter. What you are going to hear is me and my friend Bridget Goggin, a frequent guest on our podcast, blessing Cho Chang. We love Cho so much. We made her our most recent patron saint. We made her the patron saint of criers, so of me. So if you're one of our patrons, at a certain level, you get a Cho Chang pin. And Bridget and I just have a wonderful time blessing our darling Cho. I hope you enjoy this. Hello, Bridget.
Hello, Vanessa.
Can you introduce yourself to everyone, please?
I'm Bridget Goggin. I work at a Reform synagogue and I run the adult education program there. And I'm obsessed with Harry Potter.
Great. Anything else you want to add?
I'm also obsessed with my cats, and I'm also obsessed with romance novels.
You're a perfect person. We invited you here today to bless a woman of Harry Potter. Whom are you going to bless and what for?
I'm going to bless today Cho Chang.
Ugh, love her.
I love Cho Chang. I just feel so much for her. Not like, oh, I feel for you. No, not a bless your heart kind of thing. Like, she just gives me all of the feelings. What I really love about Cho is her ability to hold on to kindness and a view of the world that is good and pure, while also acknowledging that it's time to fight, it's time to stand up, that normal rules don't apply.
Yeah, she always maintains kindness even in awkward situations, right? When Harry asks her to the Yule Ball when she already has a date, she's like so kind to him. When Draco pretends to be a Dementor at one of the Quidditch games, even though she is technically like on an opposite team from Harry, she's like worried about him and points it out to him, right? Like kindness always supersedes like self-interest or awkwardness or anything like that for Cho.
Absolutely. And I think that she's not afraid to show that it takes a toll on her to live in this world that is so scary. I find her openness and her willingness to be sad and scared and angry in front of other people is really inspiring to me. It really means a lot to me how much she is seen crying and how open and vulnerable she is around that. As someone who publicly weeps a lot, I have chosen to see my tears as like strength, as fertilizer for like my power. I really see that in Cho.
Yeah. Is there a specific moment that you want to draw our attention to with the amazing Cho?
Yes. Everything involving her friend Marietta, I think, deserves to be blessed. Marietta is the friend who she drags along to the Hogshead for the like beginnings of the DA. And you can tell through the whole thing that Cho is like, Marietta, we are here. This is what we're doing. Marietta, we're signing this. This is what we're doing. Like, she's forceful with her friend Marietta. And you learn something about Cho because Marietta listens to Cho and, like, I think that it shows a deep friendship, a deep trust between the two of them with how they interact with that. And then when Marietta tells Umbridge about the DA, and Hermione's jinx, like, scars her face permanently, forever, Cho does not stand by that. Cho confronts Harry about it. They argue about Hermione. I often think that that conversation gets construed with Cho's jealousy about Harry and Hermione's relationship. But I really see Cho's just, like, deep commitment to what is right and wrong with how you treat people, and thinks that Hermione and Harry, they've crossed a line with how they've treated Marietta. And, like, Cho doesn't deny how important the DA is. She doesn't give up the fight against Voldemort. She doesn't think that Umbridge is good. Like, she's on the right side. And yet she thinks that the punishment put on Marietta is, like, extreme and not okay. And I love that she's willing to stand up for it. Her relationship with Harry, their, like, flirtation ends after that. And, you know, we're in Harry's mind more. And, like, it can easily feel like a decision Harry is making. Like, oh, that dramatic Cho Chang. But I like to think that it was her being like, no. Like, you can still teach me how to do Expelliarmus, but this is not a thing anymore because you don't treat people that way.
And she is so loyal to Marietta that she is willing to forgive Marietta. But in that conversation with Harry, she says, like, I know she messed up, but she messed up for good reasons. And Harry is loyal to Hermione in a completely different way, where he is not willing to say, like, she went too far, but she did it for good reasons. In which case, I think that they could find a middle ground of, like, both of our friends messed up a little bit and we judged them a little bit, but they both came from really good places, and, like, let's forgive them and forgive each other. And so she is modeling right in front of Harry, like, how to be a really good friend without being, like, a blind loyalist. Harry is just being like, nope, Hermione's always right. And so Cho is right to be jealous of that, right? And be like, that is a relationship that's going to get in the way of you and I becoming closer because you don't question Hermione, which makes Hermione like a cult leader, not a friend.
I completely agree. I love that view of how Cho is seeing Harry and Hermione's relationship there. And that it's not just about, like, oh, you spend more time with her, you prefer her. It's that, like, you're setting aside reason and qualities that I think are important, like forgiveness and understanding and discernment. And you're not using those right now. The other thing they think is incredible about Cho and how she responds to Marietta is, like, Cho is not naive in how terrible things are. Like, her boyfriend died publicly and tragically because of Voldemort. And she had to grieve that loss publicly. Like, there's a trauma in losing someone, and then there's the trauma of being a grieving woman in the world. Like, both of those are very traumatic things to experience. And yet it almost bolsters her commitment to understanding what is right and wrong and how you treat people. Whereas Harry, Ron, Hermione, like, the way that they respond to the trauma that they're experiencing, they're more willing to sacrifice people and the right way to treat people because of the, like, fight ahead. And I have a lot of empathy for how they have to respond to that world, but I feel so inspired by Cho. She still fights in the Battle of Hogwarts. She's still committed to the cause. And yet she's like, I think that it's okay for me to forgive my friend having a moment of weakness.
I hadn't thought of that given that Cedric has died and that she has felt so personally how much is at stake in this war, she could easily give in to, like, whatever base feeling she had of being like, you're basically a Nazi sympathizer, Marietta. You crossed a line. You chose the side of evil. We're done, right? Like, that could have very easily been her response. But instead, right, like, she maintains this sense of empathy of, like, her parents work at the ministry and she was scared for real reasons. And I think that by doing that, she, like, doesn't let the bad guys win by, like, not letting them determine who she's gonna be. One of the ways that, like, bad guys win is that they lower our discourse. And Cho is like, I'm not having that conversation. I'm gonna always have this more elevated and more nuanced conversation.
Yeah. I don't know how actively Cho is thinking that, like, I could cut out Marietta right now, but then I would be losing a great friend, an ally, and someone who could still be on the right side of the history here with me. I don't know how much foresight she's putting, the intention she's putting into why her actions are good. They seem to be inherent to her. I'm not sure how much work Cho is having to put into her forgiveness of Marietta. We don't really get to see the internal battle she has of how hard it is for her or not hard. The way it's presented is she is like, this is what happens. When she goes and approaches Harry about what Hermione did, the jinx, and Marietta's face, she's going into it like what she's saying is reasonable. And that's, I really love that. She's not going in ready to have to defend this argument about why Marietta deserves to be forgiven for this and why the actions taken against her and her punishment is too severe and inhumane. And I love how reasonable she thinks she is. And I would love to enter more arguments believing that what I'm saying doesn't have to be debated. Like, what a powerful thing that she does. I mean, maybe if she went in more prepared, she could convince Harry otherwise.
No.
But
I'm also just thinking about, there's a line in the Kabbalah, which I know from a movie, not from having studied the Kabbalah, that God counts the tears of women, that tears are a way of keeping an accounting of the pain in the world. I think we can take away the gendered aspect of what the Kabbalah says, but like that God counts our tears, and that at the end of that fight with Harry, he is so nasty to her about the fact that she cries, right? He says to her, like, what are you going to do, cry? And it's like, well, you know what? There should be more tears about this whole thing. If everybody spent more time crying, there we'd be fighting less. We'd be more in touch with our feelings and what's at risk. And so I think that these two things are linked, right? The fact that she cries is like part of her honesty and fairness and goodness, right? Like, she's crying out of empathy. She's crying out of a sense of, like, it's complicated. I like this boy named Harry, and I'm still grieving this other boy. And, like, she's just, like, willing to live in this in-between place where, like, Marietta messed up, but so did Hermione. And so if you're willing to live in that in-between place, of course there are tears involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also always surprised that she doesn't start crying there, because when someone's like, are you going to cry now or don't cry? The fury it makes me feel makes me cry. Like, yeah. And I'll be like, I'm not crying. And like, as I'm actively crying. And it's just the injustice of it. Harry has so much anger. Like, his trauma is expressed through anger. And the people around him are just more willing to deal with that than they are with Cho's sadness. And it doesn't feel fair. And it makes it all the more amazing to me that she still stands up for what she needs to say to him. And she's not bullied into thinking that her sadness is some kind of weakness or plague of any kind or a burden on anybody else. Like, screw you. This is how I'm dealing with this. Like, you go yell at someone and I'm going to be here and crying into my tea, and then we'll be fine. And like, then we can move on with things and do what's really important. And yeah, I just want to be more like Cho Chang all the time.
She's like the Bodhisattva of the Harry Potter books. She's like, I'm here to witness the pain and feel your pain.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to always be weeping.
And then I'll stand by you and fight with you and learn all the spells I need to learn to, like, really get this thing done. Like, she knows that there's a fight to be fought, and she's ready and powerful and capable. And, like, if she cried through the whole Battle of Hogwarts, that is the fan fiction I would write, is her just, like, weeping and, like, stunning Death Eaters.
And her tears somehow magically healing everybody.
Yes. Just, like, feel your feelings, Cho Chang, and, like, forgive your friend and fight for good.
So I have a quiz for you.
Great.
It's really obvious. You can probably guess what the quiz is. Cho Chang is Welsh.
Oh, yes.
And one of the only Welsh people I know of is the poet Dylan Thomas.
Great.
So this is a trivia quiz about Dylan Thomas.
I know nothing about Dylan Thomas, so I'm really ready to crush this. Yeah. I have great first-time beginner's luck. I'm the best at things when I know nothing about them, so.
Well, here we go. I'm going to start with the most pretentious question.
Great.
So Dylan Thomas's most famous poem is Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, which he wrote about his father dying. Do Not Go Gentle is A, Shakespearean sonnet, B, a Petrarchan sonnet, C, a villanelle, or D, a ballad?
D, a ballad.
Ooh, I'm so sorry. It's a villanelle.
Darn. I almost picked villanelle because I'm obsessed with Killing Eve, but then I was like, that's a bad reason to pick an answer.
There are no bad reasons to pick answers.
All right, I'm going to go with my gut next time.
Okay, so the next question is, what made Dylan Thomas world famous? A, his tour of America. B, his drinking habits. C, his habits with women. D, his poetry.
B, his drinking habits?
So it's actually A. He, like Dickens, did a tour of America where he was like so charming and interesting and like old fashioned. And a lot of it was that he would just like drink whiskey on stage and like get drunk while reading poetry. But like the press coverage of his American tours are what made him like world famous.
I'm going to give myself a half point there.
Because, yes, his drinking was involved.
Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
Yeah. Back in the days when drunk men were, like, charming on stage.
Totally.
No, thank you anymore. Thanks.
No. I'm a little bit worried about my pronunciation of this next question.
Okay.
So please be patient with me, especially to our Welsh listeners. Which of the following names was the creative moniker that Thomas crafted for himself? A, the infant Shakespeare. B, the Hardy of Aberystwyth. C, the Dante of the Valleys. Or D, the Rimbaud of Quinnich Drive.
Can I ask a follow-up, but can I ask a question for a hint?
Yeah, but I might not know the answer. I stole this question from a Guardian quiz.
What's the geography of Wales? Is it hilly or valley-y or mountainy? Like, what are there valleys in Wales?
Really? You want me to answer that?
Is that the answer? I'm going to guess C, the Dante of the Valleys.
I do think there are valleys.
That's my answer, Dante of the Valleys.
No, I'm sorry. It was D, the Rimbaud of Quinnichan Drive.
Darn.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at Dylan Thomas trivia.
Also, he was bad at giving himself monikers. That's so lame.
What's a Rimbaud?
We've Googled it, and it turns out that Rimbaud was a poet. And so there was a theme to these. There's Shakespeare, Hardy, Dante, and Rimbaud. And we're very sorry to all the people who were offended by our ignorance. Last question, Bridget, but it is worth all the points. So
okay.
If you get this right, you win.
Okay.
Dylan Thomas and Igor Stravinsky wanted to meet for years to collaborate on an opera. They finally set a date and time to meet. Thomas stood up Stravinsky for which of the following reasons? A, he was too drunk, even though it was a breakfast meeting. B, he was so consumed by a poem that he couldn't put his pen down. C, he misunderstood and thought that the meeting was in Paris when really it was in New York. Or D, he was dead.
This is the best quiz question I have ever heard. Did you write this one?
I did.
This is so good.
Thank you. I wrote it with the help of my beloved Peter Mueller, who we will thank in the credits this week.
Oh, boy. I really want it to be C, but I think it's D.
It was D. He died that morning.
I feel bad that I just put my hands in the air for getting that right. As you read, he died that morning. Sorry, Dylan Thomas. But hooray me!
Stravinsky ended up writing music to be played to Do Not Go Gentle for Thomas's funeral. I wonder if Cho Chang is inspired by Dylan Thomas and would maybe have read some of Do Not Go Gentle at Cedric's funeral.
Aw, that's so cute.
Like grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay, rage, rage against the dying of the light. But in her great Welsh accent.
Rage, rage. That does feel like something she would say. And she's a Ravenclaw, so like she's gonna turn to the classics to like express her feelings.
Absolutely.
I really feel like that is what she would do.
And Dylan Thomas really liked to think of himself as a romantic poet, even though like it was W.H. Auden. It was this like time of modernism. Mm. he was like, no, I'm Keats. And I think that Cho is like that too. She's like, I'm not ironic and postmodern. I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Oh, I feel, yes, that is exactly what she said. I just love her rage, rage, like as she's crying.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that. Go Cho.
Go Cho. Well, Bridget, we would like to thank you so much for coming into the studio to bless Cho Chang.
It's my actual dream. I can't wait to do it again. Please bring me back.
Wow, that was a little pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not above begging.
This week's episode of The Women of Harry Potter was co-produced by me, Vanessa Zoltan, and Ariana Nettleman, and edited by Chelsea Erson. Our music is by Nick Bull, and special thanks this week to Peter Mueller, who helped me write the quiz. We are a Not Sorry production, and you can follow us on Twitter and review us on iTunes. Please do.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.